Praise the Lord. Saturday night. Saturday Night Live. Because Jesus is life. And we are one with Jesus. So this is Saturday Night Live. Because Jesus is here and he's the living one. So I hope you're alive. You're in the best place you could be on a Saturday night in Texas. That's with other college ones, seeking the Lord, loving the Lord, hearing his word, and being built up together to crush Satan. I like that. Let's all do that. Both feet. Crush Satan under our feet. So tonight, Satan, a lot of college kids are partying and getting drunk and disillusioned, but we're after you. We're going to crush your head tonight. Amen. Just giving you fair warning in case you want to step out of the ring, because Jesus already defeated you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're one with Jesus. Wow. So this morning, or this afternoon, one of the brothers up here said, could we have some introductions? So we'd like to do that to see who all is with us during this great college conference. So we'll just stand up by group. I'll call out a campus or a city, and you could just stand up. How about that? These are all our fellow brothers and sisters in the same stage of life, fighting the same battles on their campus. So we like to see who we are. So let's start north, outside Texas in Oklahoma. We have some from Oklahoma. Let's see if anybody made it from Oklahoma. Okay. All right. That's good. That's the Metroplex there. Good job. Anybody north of Oklahoma? Sorry. No? Okay, let's go to the west. How about California? Or Arizona, New Mexico? Okay, we got one. Okay, how about to the east? Arkansas, Louisiana? How about Louisiana? All right, Baton Rouge. Yeah, good. Okay, then let's go south of Texas. Anybody from Mexico? Anybody make it up from Mexico? No? Okay, we'll go back up to the north and start with northwest Lubbock. Is Lubbock here? Okay, the Red Raiders, they're raiding tonight. Okay, then dropping down to... how about west, El Paso? Oh, okay, that's good. It's a good group from El Paso, wow. And then how about up to the Metroplex? Let's start with Dallas. Dallas, that's Dallas. Good group from Dallas. And Denton? Those guys are... owning the front rows. Oh my goodness, what a strong spirit. Arlington. So Arlington, they're good. Arlington. Fort Worth. Got some back there from Fort Worth. Plano, Richardson. Over here, okay, good. Anybody else in the Metroplex? Got it? McKinney. All right. Were you baptized today? Was that you? No, that was somebody else baptized. Okay. Let's see. Then let's go down to Houston. How about Houston? Okay, good job, Houston or Huntsville. Okay. Whoa. Praise the Lord for Huntsville. Anybody else in that part of the East Texas? College Station. College Station. Oh, that's good. All right, how about coming back to Central Texas, Waco? Back from Waco, okay, back there. And then dropping down to Temple. Temple, how about, okay, Round Rock, okay, good, And then Austin. Okay. Then we got San Marcos. They're on fire. Then let's see, San Antonio. Okay, that's good. All right. Does that cover Central Texas? Coming down to Victoria or Corpus Christi? Anybody? Then we'll drop down to the valley. We've got Laredo. Okay. Then we've got Edinburgh. And Brownsville? Okay. Anybody else from down there, Mission or Harlingen? Mission? Okay. Did everybody stand up? Who do we miss? Huh? Belize. Oh, Belize. Okay, everybody stood up, right? Tyler. Oh. Pittsburgh. McAllen. Everybody, stand up. We got it? Very encouraged. We've all come together. Okay, so tonight we want to continue the line, and the title of this conference is what? Salvation from God's side. And tonight we're going to move into part two, which brings in more our response, our cooperation with salvation that God has prepared for us. And I think the brothers have done a good job. Message one was salvation from God's side, and it just had two main parts. First part was the all-inclusive Christ, and there were only 4 points covered because we're out of time. But Christ is much more inclusive than the mystery of God, the love of God, the Lamb of God, the life of God. Those were the main few points we could hit about the all-inclusive Christ, but he's much more extensive, much more inclusive. You can't exhaust him. So then the last part of that message was on our the full salvation of man, and that showed our hopeless condition. And then it moved into our becoming children, which mature to become sons, which mature to become heirs. And then Victor finished up with us being what? Members. So it's one thing to be an individual Christian, even a maturing individual Christian, and many Christians have that revelation. Yes, I need to grow. Some Christians don't have that knowledge. They just think, I'm waiting till Christ comes back so I can go to heaven. But that's not the revelation in the Bible. Christians should be growing because we have an organic life in us that's programmed, it's coded to grow. Placed in the right environment, it will grow. But it's one thing to see that individual line. It's another thing to see, oh, I'm a member of something larger. It's not just about me and Christ. It's about the body being fitly joined and knit together. So that led into the message this morning, which covered mostly some highlights of the church, some aspects of the church from the book of Ephesians. And chapters, what chapters did Reed cover? 1 and 2. We just got 1/3 of the book. And he covered 6 marvelous aspects of the church. 2 in chapter 1 and 4 in chapter 2. Can you remember them? He gave it to us in order. What was the first aspect of the corporate Christian life? Fullness. We had 6-6 Phillips up here, and well illustrated. Then after the fullness, we saw the body. That was chapter 1. Then we moved to chapter 2 and saw what 4 aspects? A masterpiece, a poema, God's a very creative. If you're living a dull Christian life, it's not because of Christ. He's exciting, he's adventuresome, he's on the move, he's creative, he's God. It's just because we're a little bit tuned out. So tune in. Masterpiece, and then what?
One new man.
One new man. And this was the illustration, nailing all us old men to the cross. Great illustration. Then what else? The kingdom, a realm on this earth today that is God's kingdom, where he is king and he has a people that are enthroning him and receiving the supply of life from him. Are you one of those people?
Yes!
And then he concluded with dwelling place. God wants a home to rest. He has a need. Maybe that's a foreign concept that our God, our all-inclusive, omnipresent, omniscient God has a need. He does. He's looking for a dwelling place. Heaven is his throne, and the earth is his footstool. So he's got a throne, he's got his feet resting, but where? Where? Where is my rest? Where is my dwelling place? To this man will I look. To this, let's say it. To this man will I look. To he who is a contrite spirit. So we saw salvation on God's side. So don't think that the church life is not part of your salvation. We're being saved corporately. The children of Israel crossed the Red Sea corporately. God, when he resurrected, he raised us corporately. In his mind, he had the perfect Christian, Jesus Christ. God the Father had it there in the Son, my beloved Son. So what he wants now is the expansion, the increase of that Son to include many. Aren't you glad you're in?
Amen.
So, how should we respond? Well, one great way of responding was what we witnessed for about 45 minutes today with all the ones that got baptized. I'd like to see you again. Everyone that got baptized today, why don't you stand up again? Yeah. I lost count. I was engulfed in the prayer and the joy, and I just gave up trying to count and remember the names. It was so joyous. That's cooperating. And if you still feel like you'd like to be baptized, there's still water, and you're still connected with some who love you and you're on your campus. So fellowship about it. Consider. It's an important step. I remember, even though I was baptized as an infant, I remember in Austin when I met the club and they told me about the importance of baptism. There was some hesitation. I know the struggle because Satan didn't want to let you go. But when I put that old man under and came up, I just felt, so refreshed. Okay, so let's turn in your booklet to message 3 would be around page 10. And we have seen two great mysteries. The mystery of God is
Christ.
The mystery of Christ is
the church.
So the church has a life, a church life. So this part 2, starting tonight, continuing tomorrow, is the life practices. There's practices needed to be normal and healthy in this kingdom life, in this church life, in this body life. So let's all read this title together. Go. Yeah, life practices. All of you know, if you played sports or instruments, musical instruments or anything, if you don't practice, then you'll never obtain a skill. So if you want to make progress, you want to experience more of God and have a richer, fuller experience of Christ, then being in the church life normally and healthily is very important. And the key is practices, life practices. So you can underline that word, life practices. May seem routine, may seem, I've heard all this before, but are you practicing? Just like the brothers who shared about the word, do you have a schedule for reading the word? I'm asking you, do you have a schedule? We have a schedule. Today I read the last part of Acts chapter 13 and Esther chapter 6. I was in such suspense I had to go ahead and read chapter 7. I just love the book of Esther. Oh, Esther, if I perish, I perish. She's like those three brothers that Martin shared about, just going for broke. Now, you should read the book. It's the hidden God saving his people. Oh, Esther. One of my grandkids is named Esther. So I have a special heart for Esther. So if you don't have a schedule, you should talk to those in your club. If your club doesn't have a schedule, you should consider asking them, hey, club, we need a schedule. And it's good if you're on the same schedule because then you can fellowship about the riches that you're reading day by day. Okay, so point number 1 here is the most important point. If you miss this point, you kind of miss the boat. The rest of the points are issues, results. This is like the root of our practice. So let's all read number 1 together. Being revived daily by eating. Again, brothers.
Being revived daily by eating.
Sisters. So revived is to restore to life or consciousness. It's also to regain life, consciousness, or strength. It's to give new strength or energy to. It comes from the Latin re, R-E, and vivere, to live. So it's to return to life. That's what revive means. Means to come to life daily. We need to be coming to life daily by doing what? By eating. So in this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:16, which is a chapter written by Paul in his later ministry, and it's living a crucified life. This chapter is about living a crucified life. So he's talking about all the pressures, cast down, but not forsaken, abandoned, but not lost. You know, you can read through the pressures. He'd already been stoned. He'd been in prison. He'd been beaten 5 times with 40 lashes, less one. His back must have looked like one big scar. So he knew what it was to live a crucified life. And he did that for the manifestation of the resurrected life by the power of the treasure in his earthen vessel. That's a mouthful. Living a crucified life for the manifestation of the resurrected life. Without death, there's no life. By the power of the treasure in his earthen vessel. There is a treasure. He realized, oh, human life is about this person, Christ, as a treasure in my earthen vessel. My earthen vessel is going through some tribulation. But what it does is it manifests the resurrected life. And he lived this crucified life by the power of that treasure in his vessel. And so by the time you get to verse 16, it's like, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. So we took the word renewed and just in the title put it revived. Renewed is to resume after some interruption. It's to give life fresh or strengthen, to revive. So we're being renewed. How often? What's the practice here? Is it month by month? No. Or week by week practice? I'll do it yearly? No. It's day by day to be renewed. It's like we entered the Christian life, this kingdom, by being born into it. You entered into a realm, a sphere. It's called the new creation. It's called God's kingdom. It's a realm that most people don't even know it exists because they don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Spirit. They've never exercised their spirit. It's not regenerated. So to them, it does not exist. But it's actually the real life, the real kingdom, the eternal life. And you entered it by your birth. When you called on the Lord, and then when you got baptized, you left the world, and you entered into his kingdom. It's just like this, brothers and sisters. Every morning when you wake up, we need to enter into that day. How are you going to enter into that day? Will you be a revived person in the morning, or will you enter that day in your old man with all its problems? The choice is yours. So you have to view it. We wake up out of unconsciousness and the things from last week we didn't get done, the things from yesterday, the things we messed up, the things that are on our list. This cell phone right here, I have to charge it every night. And I take it to the opposite end of the house, the furthest outlet in the house. And I plug it in as far away from me as I can. And by my bedside, closest to me, I have this book right here. Before I go to bed, I make sure I got my Old Testament and my New Testament. I like to read this one without notes, so I just get the word. I need the notes to help explain what's going on, but I just like to feed on the word in the morning. So this is right by my pillow. Sometimes I'll even leave it open. My phone is all the way to the house. My Bible is right here. So when I wake up in the morning, Facebook. This face coming out of unconsciousness. And especially if I didn't get a lot of sleep that night. I know your schedule. I raised four kids, and now I'm working with grandkids. I know how difficult it is to try to not squeeze a little more fun or a little more work out of that day, just into midnight, into one, into two, and then in the morning, it's like, You know what a good practice is? It's what Reese Walling does. Reese, where are you? Over there. Reese, I like this guy because what time you go to bed normally, Reese? 10 o'clock. P.M. Not the next morning at 10. And he's been doing that since high school. We just took a trip together, and we had to stay up a little bit later, and he was trying to wind it down so he could get up. So I call it the great American disease, because it robs us of a revival in the morning. You're so tired, you're so behind, you just don't get revived. So help each other. Can you do that?
Yes, we can.
You want to go on together?
Yes.
Encourage each other. Hey, let's just get a good night rest. And this, just in the morning, we'll get up and we'll get revived. Okay, it says we're being revived day by day. And the tribulation was so intense. He wrote Romans similar to this same time period. And there he says, we boast in the hope of glory of God, but not only so, we also boast in our tribulations. Amen. What? We boast in our tribulations? Knowing that tribulations, anybody here have tribulations? Okay, guess what? Tribulations will just continue as you mature in life, and they maybe intensify because they involve another person that you may be married to. And then they involve children that may not obey you, and you brought them into the world, and you're responsible for them. And you say, we're going east, and they go west. I had some like this. So, tribulation, Paul is not talking doctrine here. He had been through all the things I described earlier, and he knew that it produced endurance. Endurance is needed in the Christian race. Too many Christians, they don't have this idea, this concept, that we're going for the long run. Tribulations produce endurance. Those tribulations, if you see Paul's view, you realize I can boast in this tribulation because I know that it's producing endurance. And endurance, approvedness, and approvedness, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. You know why? Yeah. Take a cup. That's your heart. Take another one. Take another one. And you get a little smaller one. Okay, hold up your heart. Hope does not put us to shame. You know, in the world, people think we're ridiculous because we're hoping in something you can't even see. Like, you foolish Christians, poof, it's all gone. It's all just in your head. Christ is not real. Don't put your hope in him. Put your hope in this dollar bill right here. Put your hope in a position. Put your hope in your education. Put your hope in your family. But don't hope in Christ. But the Bible says that we will not put to shame because the love of God, this is your heart, this is God, the love of God, the love of God, hope does not put us to shame because the love of God has been poured out into our heart. Hope does not put us to shame. Why? It's been poured out into our heart through the Holy Spirit. So this is the Spirit bringing the love of God to you. And you have a littler heart. That's okay. Doesn't matter what size your heart is. It's still the love of God being poured out in your heart. Drink up. So it's like this, in your academic career, you have tribulations. Some professors may not be that excellent. You have tests, exams. Well, those are, do you know that that's working out endurance? So get your degree. Endure 4 years, 5 years, in some cases 7 or 8. And then you will be approved, right? You'll get a certificate. I finished college. That's your provenness. And what does that approvenness produce? Hope for a job. Just on the secular realm. Same in the Christian life. Only we have the love of God poured out in our hearts, and we see the process. Tribulation, endurance, approvedness, hope, and we're not put to shame. Because that love of God, the love that Victor talked about, poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us, and it just keeps going. Okay, so real quick here on the, talks about the inner man and the outer man. The inner man, let's start with the outer man. So the outer man is what? The Bible uses the term inner man. The outer man is decaying daily. And the inner man is being renewed. So what is the inner man and what's the outer man? The outer man is what? This is body, soul, spirit. You've seen it many times. The outer man is the organ of the outer man is the body. This is your body. It's used by your soul, which is the life and person. So an unregenerated person who is not indwelt by the Spirit only has the soul life and his person, which uses his body as an organ to carry out his desires. Unregenerated. No transmission from God. All the decisions, all the planning, straight from the soul life, which is fallen. So I'd advise you not to listen or to follow those people. They don't know where they're going. If they knew where they were going, if they hadn't been blinded by Satan, they wouldn't be on that pathway. Don't follow those people. God has called you out from that realm, and some cross a river out of that realm into a kingdom where God is on the throne, and we have an inner man. So the inner man has the life in person of Jesus Christ in their spirit. This is the life in person. Who is your life?
Jesus.
Christ, who is our?
Life.
A little bit stronger. Christ, who is our?
Life.
Yeah. So Christ came into us as a person. So us regenerated ones have life in person, and it uses the renewed soul for the organ. Renewed. So the life of our old man needs to be denied. We had the verse last night about if you by the Spirit, and by the way, that's a capital S Spirit, it's a typo. If you by the Spirit put to death the practices of the body, you will live. So this life needs to be denied. And these faculties, which are mind, emotion, will, the life driving these, or occupying these faculties, needs to be put to death, denied. But these faculties need to be renewed, uplifted, so that Christ can be expressed in our daily life. So when Paul's talking about, though our outer man is decaying because it's full of corruption, we have a new life with a new person using our renewed and uplifted, transformed mind, emotion, will, those faculties that God created you with to express this person. And this one needs to be renewed day by day, an infusion of life. This person is active, and this renewing is going on. You're becoming newer, fresher, more living day by day. So this old fella is decaying. I got a lot more decay than you do because I'm older. Definitely happening. Hopefully I have some more renewing than you do because I've had more time to get renewed day by day. So this next verse, John 6:50, 7b, because it's daily by eating. Not only do we read the word, what do we do with the word?
Eat it.
We eat the word. The word is like food. Jesus said, he who eats me, that could be a little bit offensive. He who eats me. And actually, his language got stronger by this time in the chapter because some were unbelieving. He used a stronger Greek word, togo. He was using another one that meant just to chew or devour, but now he says, if you togo. And that means to masticate, to gnaw. Gnaw. You know gnaw? G-N-A-W. He's saying, don't just chew me, but gnaw me. He who eats me, he also shall live because of me. Those who are living, they're living because of an eaten Lord. A digested Lord. This is like the food you eat. It gives supply to your mortal body. Straight analogy. Only this time it's taking this person in, receiving him as your life supply so that you have the energy and the strength to live him out. Got it? He who eats me, he also shall live because of me. And then John, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, why don't you read it? 9. So there's obstructions between us and God, and there are sins. So how do we clear that up? Quite clear from this verse. What do we need to do? Confess. So you wake up in the morning, you want to go, and the Lord might be shining. Hey, you said this to your roommate. Hey, you didn't pay that medical bill. Hey, you on that test, you kind of cheated on that test. Or you ate your roommate's eggs. Whatever. Something that wasn't yours. Or you cut that person off in the traffic lane. Or you chewed that person out. Whatever, whatever, whatever. So these things cause the Lord's to be distant from us. So confessing our sins. If we're going to be revived, sins are like a weight. You know, some of you guys are pretty buff. You're pressing that iron. It's this heavy. So you just get that off. Unload that and get cleansed from all unrighteousness. Amen. And then the last verse here is, but he answered and said, it is written. He answered. Who was answering? Who was speaking? Jesus. And who was he speaking to?
Satan.
So this is a test for the Lord. He'd fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. He became hungry. Satan came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, turn those stones into bread. And the response to Satan, he spoke God's language. He quoted the Old Testament. And what did he say? Let's all read it. But he answered and said, it's written. Man shall not live on bread alone. I saved a little bread from my lunch. You recognize that one? Man shall not live on bread alone. We live on bread alone. Do you eat bread every day or rice? Are you Chinese?
Not Chinese.
Do you eat rice? You eat rice more than bread?
Yeah.
Okay. Your version may say, "Don't you man shall not live on rice alone.
Right.
Are you Hispanic? You're not Hispanic? Taco. Man shall not live on taco alone. What's your favorite food? What is your staple? Bread? Whatever your staple is. Rice, taco, bread, hot tamales. You don't live.
Amen.
Don't live on bread alone.
Amen.
That to your physical life. The word of God is to your physical life. Whatever your staple is, you name it. If I didn't name it, you name it. What you eat every day? What do you eat every day? Man shall not live on that alone, but on every word. This is to our physical life as this is to our, this is to our spiritual life as this is to our physical life. Being revived daily. Do you want to live spiritually? Do you want to live physically? Could it be more clear or simple? What don't you understand here? Man shall not live on this alone, but on every. That means from Genesis to Revelation, that proceeds out through the mouth of God. Okay, we need to move on here. Okay, so you got this point. I just labored here because if you miss this, we can talk about the other things, but I'm sorry. The life is not there. You can go through the routine. You can check the boxes. But the life of Christ is not the supply for that day. You're not empowered. You're not enlivened. You're not revived. So you're going to be struggling to accomplish this next point, which is living. Let's all read number 2. Okay, so if we're being revived daily by doing what? Eating, trogo, devouring, gnawing, then there'll be a living of Christ by walking according to the Spirit. So you have verse Philippians 1:21. Let's read that. What a statement. For me to live is like Christ. Is that what he said?
No.
To me to live is Christ. Yeah. Is Christ. To die is even more Christ. I get more Christ. And then he reveals in Romans that there's a law working in us called the law of the Spirit of life that's freed me. Are you freed?
Yes, sir.
How are you freed?
Are you freed?
Law of the Spirit of life has freed me in what realm? In Christ Jesus. From another law. What law is operating in your flesh? Law of sin and of death. Like the law of gravity. Is this going to go up, down, sideways? Oop. What are you going to do? Sin. Die. Sorry, but there's a higher law. There's a law of aerodynamics in this case to make this paper go up. So, activate this law. And he says in 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit. Go ahead. If you walk by the Spirit, you shall by no means have the lust of the flesh. Fulfill. That means you're going to have them. You just won't fulfill them. So you can't escape our sinful nature, the lusts that come in our mind daily. I'll tell you, on a college campus, whoa. Walking across UT campus in the summer with the girls, hanging out of their clothes, skin everywhere, tight clothing everywhere. If you're a red-blooded American guy, you're a luster, brother. And it doesn't go away. Sorry. Well, I'm sorry. It will go away when you die. When this flesh, and that's why Paul thought, oh, release me. It's better. In this same line, he says, it's far better for me to depart and be with Christ than to live in this sin-ridden, corrupted body that just plagues me all the time. Free me out of this thing. You will not fulfill those lusts if you walk by the Spirit. Pretty neat. Walk by the Spirit and you won't fulfill those lusts. And this is key 8:6. How are we going to activate this law of the Spirit of life? The mind. Circle the word mind. Our minds are the leading part of our fallen soul. And the mind set on the flesh is what? Death. And more death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. So, where is our mind? You have control of your mind. You can set it. That's why we're so strong on this next point about knowing the Word. Setting the mind on God, on the Word, will bring life and peace. And then 8:16, it says, the Spirit Himself witnesses with our spirit that we're children. You'll have a witness. Who is your witness? Yes, thank you. When you're going through your daily life and you're standing there as a child of God, there's a witness saying, yes, child of God, you're not going to go there. You're not going to look at that. You're my child. You're my boys and girls in God's family, and we're sanctified, witnessing with our spirit. And it's the inner sense. You know what I'm talking about? An inner sense, like I shouldn't be so involved in that video competition or whatever, or watching some movies that are just like out of Hollywood. It's all make-believe. It's poof. It's not real. And people are looking for pleasure to escape. And so I need some... How'd you put it, Reed, about your sinning because you're hungry or something? Or was that a Victor? Thirsty. Just drinking it in. How do you feel? How does your spirit, how's your touch with the Lord once you just gobbled up a couple hours of that? You feel really revived and loving Jesus and, yeah, I want to meet with the brothers and, yeah, let's get in the Word. And no, it's like, and you go telling somebody about in this and then this and vomit. And it's all make-believe. It's not real. You're living in vanity. You're laughing because you know exactly what's going on. Listen, one of my favorite places on the UT campus, which is reeking with vanity, reeking with pride, reeking with corruption, there's several places. Across our tower, it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. One of my favorite spots, especially for preaching the gospel. But my most favorite spot, and I pass by this place sometimes when I'm exercising in the morning, afternoon. It's a statue of a sister named Nancy. Nancy Grumley Walls graduated from UT, and she was a dear believer with some precious kids, and the Lord took her at the age of 36, leaving behind Robbie and Emily. So there's this statue by the Alumni Center. And from the verses on the plaque, I'm sure her family donated that to UT. She's got her Bible open. She's sitting with her kids. And Robbie's over here, and Emily's over here, and she has her Bible open to 2 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. You know those verses? Read your Bible. It's the last book written by Paul to Timothy, his dear co-worker, his spiritual child. Something like, I fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. So her Bible's open. And there's this glow on her face. And she's looking off because she's going to be with the Lord. So in spite of her early departure, the Lord took her very soon. She has this glow on her face and she's looking away with this glow. And Robbie has a family dog over here sitting, and Emily's got the soccer ball over here. And she's looking away. Where do you think Robbie's looking? He's got the dog with his hand on the dog. He's looking at the dog. He's looking off where she's looking. He's looking at the Bible. And little Emily, maybe 6 years old for Robbie, 4 for Emily, a cute little girl with a soccer ball. Is she looking at the ball? Is she looking at the Bible? Is she looking away? Where's she looking? Both sets of eyes. Let's see. Who's a mother here? Any mothers? We have any mothers in the audience? Come on, I just need one mother. That means you have children.
Thank you.
No mothers. Okay, you can just stay there. It's okay. So both eyes are fixed on mother. Emily from this side, Robbie from this side, looking at mother. Within 5-10 years, some of you will be married. Some of you will bear children. Will you be one that's revived daily? Will you be one that is living Christ? Because you're going to be viewed 24/7 by one set of eyes, two sets of eyes, three sets of eyes. I have a son. He's got 4 kids, and they're 5 years and younger. There are 8 eyeballs, 2 sets of 4. Mommy, daddy, mommy, daddy. Think about it. If you're not laying the foundation now, would you continue in that marriage even? You know, divorce rate is over 50%. That's a pretty bad statistic. Something must be wrong. And then the kids suffer. Revived daily by eating, living Christ, by walking according to the Spirit. And your household would be one that, it's like Cornelius' house, would be a factor in the Lord's move. I'm sure you thought about this. Right now is the foundation that you're laying. And the weight will be added when a spouse is added, when kids are added, when health issues come, financial issues come, problems come. What is the foundation? In Matthew it says, some built on the sand, and when it got tested, it just crumbled. It's very sad to watch that. Others were built on the what? Rock. So these are the rock years, brothers and sisters. Give your time, your energy to dive into the Word. Let the relationships They'll come later. Let all the other things people are chasing, they'll come later. You're young, you got plenty of time. Don't worry about it. Let the foundation be solid. Proper relationships, and especially with Jesus Christ. Okay, I need to move. Sorry. Okay, knowing the word, let's all read. This is how a good way to set your mind on the Spirit is to have the word, God speaking in you. So we want to know the word. 2 Timothy 2:15, brothers, read that one. Yeah. Okay. Diligent to present yourself. This is Timothy, the co-worker, younger co-worker, unashamed. You're not ashamed of God's word, and you're cutting it straight. knowing the word reveals God and his purpose. And it's like an anchor, and it's like we know the game plan. So my illustration on this one concerns Brother Reed, who shared this morning. I've known him from a high schooler. I know his parents, his dad went to UT, ran track at UT. He was a track man in high school. So I've been interested in this young man. So he made it to the state finals in running, 3A school, Abilene. And so Reed, was this your senior year? And you ran, was it a 2 mile? You ran the first, and then I watched the 1 mile? Okay, so he ran the 2 mile earlier in the day, and he won that one. State, Texas is a big state, a lot of runners. Okay, so now he's already run a 2 miler, and the same day, a few hours later, he's got to run the 1 mile. That's 4 laps around the track. So we're there, and we're watching. A group of us happen to be on one side of the stadium, another group on the other side of the stadium. This is Texas track meet in Texas, the big stuff for the top athletes. Actually, I stayed in his home after that, and I probably ran around the same neighborhood. And I would think about Reed running and getting in shape for this big event. So Reed, the gun fires. I guess there's 8 of you or something like that, 8 or 10. They take off. So Reed takes an early lead. And he'd run on that side of the stadium, and you'd hear this, "Go, Reed!" And he'd come around our side. We go, "Go, Reed!" That's all I heard. I mean, we were like the top one fan club. He'd go on the other side, "Go, Reed!" He'd come around our side, "Go, Reed!" So he's leading. Last lap, halfway through the last lap, Reed's got the lead. And another one pulls up shoulder to shoulder. He's only got one more circle, or what do you call that? The curve. He's got one more curve, and the finish line's there. So this guy pulls up side by side. And then he drops away. Then he gets on the curve, going for the home stretch, and another one pulls up and passes him into the last part of the race. He passes Reed. He's got the lead. Reed's now in second, the guy that pulled up shoulder to shoulders in third. And you're hearing, "Go, Reed! Reed! Put it on, bro!" So this guy that passed him up runs out of gas. And Reed passes him up a couple links right at the finish line.
Go Reed!
Go Reed! So we go up to congratulate Reed. Come on, Reed. I think you're about that tall. Did you grow any more after high school?
I don't think so.
Okay, so big guy. Lanky, long legs. And he's just sweating. And we're loving on him. Reed, you did such a good job, Reed. Oh, Reed, go Reed. So I asked Reed, I said, Reed, what was going on in your head when you saw this guy pull up next to you? And then when the guy passed you, what was going on in your head? Reed, tell me. I want to know the strategy. And you remember what you told me?
Not really.
No, I think so.
You remember. What'd you tell me?
I told him I knew his times and I knew I was faster.
He had studied all these guys. He knew them by name. He knew their times. He knew he had the fastest time. And he also knew strategy. So he told me this, that, and he said, if I stick to my plan, I'll win. I knew I would win because I knew these guys, and I knew their times, something like that, right? Yep. If I stick to the plan, and he stuck to the plan, he wasn't rattled. He didn't change his stride. He didn't change his strategy, and he got another trophy. Go Reed! What's the point of this? Knowing the word. If you know the word, you know the plan, you stick with the plan, regardless of what comes in to challenge you, to discourage you, to cause you to lose heart, to cause you to get off track, to cause you to be rattled. Don't take it from the enemy. Stick with the plan, and you will get the trophy. You'll finish the race. It's all here. All the revelation you need to know where you came from, what you should be doing today, and where you're going, and how to get there. It's just in our language. But if you don't know the plan, you don't know the plan. So when Satan hurls suggestions, oh, I better step this part of my life up, or oh, I'm going to get squeezed out of this, or oh, I better go for that, or oh, maybe you won't win the race. You won't finish the race. So be diligent to present yourselves, cutting straight the word of truth. Oh boy, is that getting clobbered today? The word of truth? You mean there's truth? You mean there's absoluteness? You mean it doesn't bend with my concoctions or the whims of society or the latest fad? You mean that heaven and earth will pass away? But, sorry, this is going, no, this is not passing away. You can pour out everything to the Lord based on his word, and you will not be put to shame. You know that. So, let's see. Maybe John 6:63 just mentions it's the Spirit. So we don't take the word just in doctrine, because it's the Spirit that gives life. The life is embedded, the life of the Lord is embedded in the black and white. That's why we use our spirit to strike, to light, to strike the word, and then life. It's like I had a match, and the phosphorus is what lights up. So you take your spirit and you strike the word. And the spirit, which is the essence of the word, gives you life. And the words which I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And then Timothy, from a babe, you've known the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise unto what? Wise unto what?
Salvation.
You want to be wise unto salvation? You want to have a supply to run the Christian race by the word? You want to have vision to know what's going on in the race? And you want the speaking, the instant speaking? Look at this verse, Acts 1:20. It's written in the book of Psalms. Peter quoted the book of Psalms. There was a time to replace one of the disciples. Judas had fallen away. Peter knew the word. So there was a speaking. Now it's time we need to replace his overseership. Let another take. The speaking. When you're prayerful to the Lord, when you're in the word, God will speak. Bible applied to your situation. What classes to take? Who to live with? How to spend your day? How to spend your money? How to spend your time? How to dress yourself? He cares. Remember, he's the person in the inner man. Okay, I'm going to have to give you a chance to share. I'd like to hit one more point, maybe, if we have time. yearning for growth. Having been regenerated. Let's read 1:23. 1 Peter 1:23. Go. Sisters. Okay, having been regenerated, not of corruptible seed, incorruptible, through the living, abiding word of God. What is this? You can't see it. It's so small. It's an acorn. I picked it up today underneath a live oak tree. And if this seed gets put into the right soil, in the right environment, what's going to happen? It is coated. You cannot stop it. It will reach a full-grown live oak tree made by God. Okay, this says, we were regenerated, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the living and abiding. So the living and abiding word came into us, bloop, a seed. Life of God. If it's in the right environment, what's your name?
Graham.
If that's in the right environment, what do you think is going to happen?
It'll grow to what it's supposed to be.
It will grow to what it's supposed to be. It is coded. It is in the DNA. It's a kingdom gene. It's the life of Christ. Do you doubt? Who doubts that this will become a live oak tree if it's in the right environment? Tell me. Anybody have a doubt? Who doubts that if the living, abiding word comes into you, it will not reach full maturity, provided it has the right environment? Automatic. Yearning to grow. So we want the proper environment. One more verse, and then you'll get a chance. First, let's read the next verse. Colossians 2:12. 2:19, brothers.
Together,
Okay, so these were Colossians who were into culture. They were into angel worship, even religious things, and they were not holding the head. So they left the head, who is Christ, the head of the body. And so Paul adds, that's a mistake. You're not holding the head, because out from whom all the body, being richly supplied and knit together by means of the joints and sinews, grows with what? All the body, being richly supplied and knit together by means of the joints and the sinews, grows with the growth of God. So joints, we realize what joints are. He's using the physical body here to describe the spiritual body. So you have joints, and then you have sinews. And what's a sinew? What's a sinew? Come on, biology majors, kinesiology majors. What's a sinew, please? A muscle? Wrong. Bone? Wrong. What is a sinew? Flesh? Is that a sinew? No, wrong. A tendon is a type of sinew. And what does a tendon connect? Bone to muscle. Hey, you're learning. What's another type of sinew? No one's torn a ligament? No one here's torn a ligament. Y'all are weak. It's bone to bone. ACL in your knee. Out of four kids, three of them have torn their ACL. Not to mention the shoulders and on and on. We're a rough group. One's a girl.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. She's a mother of three now, so she's a little more tame. Okay, so the joints of supply. I couldn't help but think of this group from San Marcos. I was eating lunch with these guys. Y'all stand up, that rowdy bunch that got baptized. You know, at the pool, it's like when the action got, what happened? It just, these guys got released. It's like, yeah! They splashed the baptizer. One of them just ran out the, and the mother, did you hear the mother pray for Isaiah? Boy, she let it rip. Mamas love their boys, especially when they're giving themselves to God. It's like, that's the top joy of a mom. Like, take him. He's been so messed up, but now God's got him. I did what I could. I did my best, but now God, he's yours.
Amen.
I challenge. We all challenge you three. Two freshmen and a sophomore. Okay. A vital group. Sinews, ligaments, tendons, connecting. King James calls it bands, connecting together. You brothers are connected by Christ. Formerly you were connected elsewhere, other people. But now the body is growing by means of joints. Cody is one of your full-timers. Stand up, Cody. See, this man, he just hit the campus after being in Bible school. He's already got, I said, Cody, have you hooked up with these guys yet? He said, I've been there just a week and I've gotten with all of them. Something like that, right? Okay, what have you been doing with them?
Been reading the Word.
Oh, my goodness.
Hallelujah.
A joint, a rich supply. So there's joints, there's older ones. You have homes. You have, in the church life, there's homes, older people like us, grandpas even, grandmas, that are loaded. You have full-timers, staff, They've got some, there's supply from the head. They're connected to the head, and through them, the joints supply motion. They supply God's move, God's word. And then the joints are also functioning with the sinews. So, oh, look at here. Here's a joint. Come on. You be the knee joint. You three, come on. We need one more. Hey, I remember you two. Come on. Oh, you're the junior. Yeah. Two softs and a... Okay. Here's the knee joint. There's four ligaments. So here's a joint, and he's right in the middle. He's been held together. He's supplying two in the front. Let's see, one on the side. I think your knee looks like this. One over here, and these two are crossed over to hold your knee in place. The body grows. What does it say? Being richly supplied. Supply, brother. And knit together. Knit, brothers. Knit. Join arms. Knit. It grows with the growth of God. You got it. You need companions. You need to be joined. Do you have a companion on your campus? Are you connected? Could I do that illustration with you? Or would you be the Lone Ranger? You know, we're Texans, so Lone Ranger, the Lone Ranger. You got Tonto, maybe, and no, we're not taking Lone Ranger. It's not the Lone Star State anymore. That's why I didn't use, oh, never mind. So I need to stop. Okay, so the question for you, are you connected like a ligament or a tendon to another one your age? Hopefully in a group. 3, 4, 5, just you're running together, you're studying together, some of you live together, you hang out together. That's how the body, being richly supplied and knit together by means of the joints and sinews. Okay, you have some time to prophesy, maybe about 15 minutes, so let's get the mics out. And don't hold back. If you haven't shared yet, come on up. If you have shared and you're just about to bust, you can also get in line, but let's give a little chance to those that haven't said anything yet. The practice is life. Let's read the title while I get the mics out. What's the title of this one? Life practices needed to be normal and healthy. Where?
In the church life.
In the what life?
Church life.
Church life.